Part 2, Beyond Yourself. Chapter 6, Re-envisioning Mealtime. Everyone has a vision of a perfect mealtime. The entire family sits around the table, calm and positive, while enjoying a delicious meal. But how do you achieve that? Through conscious effort. Effort that begins with sitting down with your family outside of mealtime and establishing guidelines based on your schedules and shared goals, including connection, nourishment, love, and enjoyment. Create family guidelines. Family guidelines provide the basis for what mealtime will look like in your home. Every family is different, but the first step is to create the guidelines requires assessing your family values. Once you have defined these, you can then take the steps to support them. Let's say that you value togetherness and you want to share stories of your day, but your children all have hectic schedules and no one is home at 6 p.m. for dinner. You can adjust your meals accordingly. Perhaps this means a later dinner time, or maybe you decide that breakfast is the meal you share together. If your family value is quality time, but you're constantly carpooling or can't find time to squeeze in a daily meal, you could choose to have a weekly meal together, making it a standing date and breaking out the china or heading to your favorite restaurant. Look at your values and play with the rhythm that works for your family. You may need to revisit your guidelines on a regular basis because schedules will change. Toddlers need an earlier bedtime. Grade schoolers are off and running to after-school activities, and teens may be working, have homework, or a social life. Your family values don't have to change, but the rhythm and schedule and needs of the kids change. There are many ways to come back to those values, so you will want to reevaluate on an annual basis or on a school schedule basis. Once you have assessed your values and built guidelines, mealtime can be a lot easier to work with. This said, everyone needs to continually make mealtime a priority and make sure it's quality time together. The last thing you want is everyone feeling rushed or trying to run out the door. This means meals don't have to last 30 or 60 minutes. You don't need to fully set the table each night. Connection is the important factor. You can enjoy a meal for 10 or 15 minutes and still feel connected and nourished. Also, as with all aspects of creating a healthy home and family, give yourself permission to go off schedule. When you've established your guidelines and your family agrees, it's okay to have an off night when something comes up. Avoid stressful conversations. Family mealtime is not the time for stressful conversations. Whether it's kids talking about problems at school or trouble with a friend at soccer practice or parents discussing their work, stressful topics may vary depending on the family, but make a decision to leave those conversations out of dinner time. The goal is to foster a peaceful, relaxing environment and to facilitate and encourage being present. If we're talking about the past, we're not being present with our food. So keeping dinner time free of stressful conversation is a good place to start. You can enjoy silence. You don't have to fill up the time to have connection. This is where every family is different. If you're sitting and enjoying silence together leaves you wanting more, try some games such as Heads Up or buy a pack of Would You Rather cards. Some families create a jar filled with questions to ask each evening. Sarah Blakely, businesswoman and founder of Spanx, talks about how her dad used to ask her every day, "What did you fail at today?" It's always generated a positive conversation at the dinner table and showed her that there's always something to celebrate. She credits her current success to the practice of celebrating failure because it means you're moving forward. Give thanks. There are many ways to stay present during the meal, but an immediate way to bring everyone together and work towards mindfulness is to give thanks or say a prayer. This encourages the entire family to be present. Children may not understand the intention, but gratitude and spiritual practice force them to pause, reflect, and be in the present moment. Your children will understand that feeling of taking a moment to appreciate the process and will carry it with them. There are other ways to stay present. You can talk positively about the food, about how great it smells, or that the plate looks pretty. Ask family members to share their favorite part of the meal. Invite them to think about the texture and taste of the food. This results in mindful eating. No matter how young they are, get your kids involved with meal preparation, setting the table, or cooking when possible. Let them take drink orders from everyone and report back to the chef. Ask them to present the meal to the family before everyone begins eating. Model healthy eating. Having everyone eat the same meal helps ease the life of a chef and models good eating to the family. It's understandable that some children are picky eaters or have food allergies, but you can still get to control the meals. You may serve what you know your child will like and add in one new option of what everyone else is eating. Or you may provide a couple healthy choices and let them choose what and how much they eat. Praise your child for trying something new. You can still instill the importance of nutrition without food labels of good and bad. We want our children to grow up believing that balanced eating is an important element of self-care and self-love, and that food and exercise are not meant to control weight. By providing options that are nourishing and balanced, we can talk positively about food while still giving them freedom to assess what tastes good on their palate. We can control our behavior, meaning making food choices, moving our body, and feeding our mind positive fuel. Empower them by focusing on what we can control. Teach balance with food. Finding balance among a family can be difficult. Some family members may have special dietary concerns that need to be taken into consideration, but it's still important to choose food options that work for the entire family. Discrepancy within the family. When we focus on weight over health, we create a scenario that affects everyone. Let's take a scenario where one child is considered overweight on the growth curve, but the other is not. Jack is a 12-year-old boy who was told by his doctors to lose weight because his weight and BMI were too high for his height. Jack doesn't love sports and therefore exercises less than his peers. His sister, Sophie, is low on the growth curve and plays a competitive sport. All children need nutrition regardless of their BMI. Being low on the growth curve doesn't mean nutrition gets thrown out the window, just as being high on the end of the growth curve doesn't mean you never get to eat a higher calorie food. If you serve them different meals due to their weight, this facilitates the teaching that food and exercise choices are meant to manage weight rather than to support health. Instead, we need to provide balance and eat foods that nourish our bodies. A discussion around needing more food to support a high level of exercise or having more fruits and vegetables for energy are more than okay. Saying one child can eat a cheeseburger but the other can't causes food to feel like a reward or a punishment based on weight. I interviewed a mom whose daughter had cystic fibrosis and needs to be at the higher end of the BMI scale, so she eats high-calorie foods. But there are also teenagers in the house. We talked about how she models healthy eating for all her children, and she had several suggestions for how she manages their balance. First, she doesn't tell her teens that the high-calorie foods are off-limits, because that somehow makes them special. She does explain that this is a prescription for her needs, just like medication would be, so there needs to be enough available just for her toddler. Second, she gets her teens involved in cooking so that they can contribute and make foods that they enjoy. She talks about experimenting with foods so they can taste them. This is a special activity she can share with the older children that her toddler can't partake in, so it adds to their bonding. She used a body bash and yo-yo diet while her teenagers were growing up. Instead of avoiding the topic, she dived in and did the work within. She then talked to them about her accomplishments and how her ideas on eating and health were passed down to her by her mother when she was growing up. And their new tagline is, "The legacy ends with us." It's important to teach your kids that sometimes beautiful lessons are passed down to us, and sometimes lessons aren't healthy. You can choose which you carry on and which you choose to end and not pass down, and it's never too late. Managing snacks. Jeannie had 4 children and had struggled with past eating disorders and a yo-yo diet mentality. She was petrified she'd pass her problems on to her kids. The kids would come home from school, throw their books on the counter, and raid the pantry because they were starving. She didn't want to limit their choices or tell them they couldn't have the cookies because she didn't want them to end up with her eating issues. This behavior didn't serve her or them because they were grabbing whatever they wanted, eating out of bags, and not thinking about their food. When dinner time came, they weren't hungry. She envisioned the environment she wanted to create and worked on taking the emotion and judgment out of the equation. She realized it didn't make cookies bad if she asked her children that when they walked in the house, they must put their backpacks away before heading to the pantry. She set rules and boundaries. Her children had to come home, put away their supplies, and then choose from snacks she provided. She laid out chopped vegetables and fruit, sometimes with cookies or chips, but took advantage of the fact that they were hungry to get in their fruits and vegetables. Once she told them this plan, she encountered zero resistance because it made it easier for the kids to get their snacks when they were laid out and available. Because she wanted to decrease stress and resistance, she took a look at what the children would fight her on every night. And it turned out that she had them shower every night, and they wanted to shower in the morning. She agreed to let go of the shower at night as long as they washed their hands and face and brushed their teeth. And this way, the kids felt like they were getting something too. The shift in routine, including things that both she and they wanted. There's a difference between setting boundaries for your family and connecting cookies with weight problems, and that's an important distinction. It's about teaching them balance and giving them the ability to choose from among options you decide on. Make a plan and work it. Having positive and calm meal times often starts with a plan. By planning your meal ahead of time, you know it will be healthy and balanced and that you won't have to scramble last minute to get it on the table. Take 20 to 30 minutes to make a basic plan for the week, and you will save yourself time and work later on. I actually take 3 hours on a Sunday to cook for the upcoming week. I prepare chicken, I cook rice, cut vegetables, and store everything in containers. It takes time out of my weekend, but saves me exponentially during the week. If you have an insanely busy schedule, cooking for the week allows the family to sit down and eat together. You can even offer options because the food has been prepared. One person may have tortilla soup and another may have chicken and rice, but they can swap the next day. This is a way to make the cook's life easier if everyone doesn't want to eat the same meal because cooking different meals daily is not sustainable. You don't need to plan every meal for the week. Leave food or leave room for leftovers or takeout. Meal preparation and planning may feel stressful at first, but you can start with simple ideas and build from there. You can repeat the same menu and slowly add in other items that can be rotated. Put the menu on paper or on whiteboard so everyone knows what to expect. A common argument against food preparation is that you're just adding more to your busy schedule. I say try it. Try preparing and then take note of how your week goes. Did it save you time? Make you feel better? Give you less stress? Save your energy? And make mealtimes more enjoyable? I promise you will not feel annoyed, flustered, or frustrated by planning ahead and cooking when you know there are benefits you will reap the following week. Another recommendation is creating go-to meal ideas and everyday items that you always have on hand, especially if you have a busy family and no time to be creative. You can deviate from the plan if something comes up, but most of the time you eliminate all of the stress and energy expenditure of deciding what to eat in the moment when people are hungry. Food planning isn't just for dinner. Our family chooses 3 to 5 dinner selections. We also decide breakfast options together as well. We alternate between 5 options that we vote on when we plan out the week. Whoever gets up first knows the menu for the day and can prepare the breakfast. The entire family has agreed on the options, so breakfast can be quickly put together. You can empower your children to make choices by providing 2 options if you like. Also, school-age children can learn to plan in advance to either eat at school or pack a lunch. When packing their own lunch, I recommend going over menu options and helping them decide what to include. For those who are creative, you can prepare for more elaborate meals. Make meal prep work for you. But for anyone who isn't comfortable with planning, it's okay to keep it simple and experiment. Theme days are an easy way to get started. Taco Tuesday, Soup Wednesday, Crockpot Thursday, Italian Friday, Eat Out on Saturday. You can vary the recipes, and it helps to easily plan when you work within themes. My family loved the themed menus and looked forward to them. We form memories and make that vital connection. Jolie hated cooking, but she had a belief that mothers must cook from scratch in the kitchen. She never wanted to plan or shop for food, so she delayed preparing meals, and her entire family felt stressed because they never knew what time dinner would be served or what it would be. She had to work through the belief that it's okay not to cook and that there were other ways to contribute as a mother. As she engaged in this process, she was able to model self-care for her children. She had the money to hire someone to cook, which worked for her family. If you're too busy to prepare meals on your own, you may consider hiring someone to do this for you or look into relatively less expensive options such as HelloFresh or Blue Apron, from which you can buy pre-made meals. Or if you can fit meal prep into your schedule but need to build up your skills, you may decide to take cooking classes. There are also simple recipes available on various online sites or in magazines. I recommend looking up recipes with 5 ingredients or simple ingredients that you keep on hand. Look on Yumly and save recipes to Pinterest that have limited steps and can be made in a short time. My solution is soups and crock pot recipes because I know I can throw the ingredients in and have it cook all day. Most of all, focus on nutrition, but know that it's okay to mix up your meals. I like serving healthy foods mixed in with the occasional soul foods, foods that may not be perfectly balanced but always win in the taste department. Or perhaps you prepare healthy meals at home, but let everyone choose their favorite meals at the restaurant. You can even choose to serve pancakes for dinner if you're feeling rushed one day. That's self-care for you and your family, choosing not to always be so strict. Worksheet, the pre-journal your food challenge. For 1 week, determine the foods that will make you feel good and taste good. 3 breakfast ideas, 3 lunch ideas, 5 dinner ideas. After you execute prepping and batch cooking for 1 week, reflect on how it went. How long did it take to batch cook and plan the meals? How much time did you save during the week? How did it feel knowing the food was taken care of all week? What were the benefits? Would you do it again?